Annie and I grew up in a church that took seriously God's promises and love and our need to respond wholeheartedly. It was, like this congregation, a prayerful congregation. And I was reminded of a saying, a congregation that prays together stays together. It's the same for families, and it's the same for all of life's choices. Prayer makes a huge difference. Prayer enables us to accept God's promises and to act on them and to be faithful and true to God. We are asked to put our trust in God's Spirit and promises and then see what happens. As Kay mentioned in her intercessory prayer, we do face a future without a minister. But I think if we all wholeheartedly, consistently, and prayerfully think about these things, that God will answer our prayers and that a solution will be found. Prayers are not always answered immediately, but we should have no fear for the future, because this congregation is prayerful and it is full of people who are able and willing to do things. So if any congregation has to go without for a while, I think this congregation is well able to cope. But let's pray, let's not fear, let's not have anxiety, let's trust and see what happens. The scriptures say, I, the Lord, know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper and not harm you. I think that has been borne out in my life and in the lives of all the people I know, and I know it's true for this congregation as well. I want to ask you a question, and you are allowed to shout from the back or front. How many promises do you think there are in the Bible? Did I hear an ooh? Just give me a figure that you think it might be. 700, right. Any advances on 700? I'm going to bang the gavel down in a minute. Any advances on that? Come on, think something, say something. 1,000. Thank you, Anne. Anything else? Well, I'll tell you. You're obviously reluctant to put in a bid. Okay. Somebody who presumably wasn't terribly active unless he did it in his spare time, went through the Bible and said there are 8,810. That's quite a number, isn't it? I'm not sure how accurate it is. I nearly said I'm going to list them one by one, but I think I'd be talking to myself at the end. But are you sitting comfortably? I will mention a few. The last one that Jesus said to his disciples, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And I've read somewhere else that what he says to one, he says to all. He says that to us, I am with you always. This promise was shown in Mary Magdalene, her experience at the empty tomb. Jesus was standing before her, right in front of her, and through her tears she did not at first recognize him. But then he said, and I know you all know the answer to this, Mary. I've often wondered what sort of tone, what sort of emotion was in that word, because obviously Mary immediately recognized it. And she said, my Lord and my God. How many times in our lives has Jesus stood beside us and we didn't see him? times of sorrow, through our own tears, times of pain or illness, right now? Have you thought as you came into this building that Jesus is here? I didn't, and I've written it down. But he is, he's here. He's beside us. He's sitting here, he's watching over. I know that as I look back, I have been blessed in many situations. Through recent serious illnesses, through times of sorrow, times when I have prayed for others and seen the answer to that prayer in their lives. So I think that's about 8,808 promises still to go. Are you still sitting comfortably? The next promise, come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke was a contraption, wooden contraption you put on the back of or the neck of the animal, and it released all the power in that animal to pull something. Without that, the animal couldn't pull. So when Jesus says that to us, come to me, all you who labour, and labour could be manual, could be physical work, it could be office work, it could be labouring under a misapprehension, or it could be a labour of love. Labour is all sorts. But we can become heavy laden. You can become weary in doing good. You can become tired in all the good things that we do. But we come to Jesus and he will give us rest. That's not a small promise. He says, my yoke is easy. The things you carry for me are easy. And my burden is light. So we can have our power released if we come to Jesus. Excuse me. The scripture says Christ's yoke is easy. The fourth promise, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Cough without making the microphone work. Thank you, Jamie. That's quite a promise, isn't it? Ask, seek, knock, and he will be there. That's a personal promise and a corporate one as well. As Kay said earlier in her prayer, we have a stationing issue. We should take that promise to heart. Ask, seek, knock on the door. That's an amazing promise, actually. It's not just magnificent, it's tremendous. We need not fear for the future, as I said earlier. The stationing problem will be solved, and we should not fear, we should not be anxious. I have absolute faith that all will be well. I'm going to begin to finish, because my voice may not last, with something that a neighbour said to me. He was, Reg his name, he was a God-fearing man, a good man. He didn't go to church, as far as I know, but he was a solid Christian. And in 1972, it stuck with me all those years, he asked me, standing in the space between our two houses, he asked me, do you believe, David, it's not what you know, but who you know that counts? And being very youthful and eager and things like that, I said, oh, no, it can't be that. It's not pulling strings and cronyism. And he said to me, it is, I'm right, it's who you know. And he looked at me and said, if you know the Lord Jesus, that's all you need. Shut my mouth and retired to my garden somewhat shamefaced. That's a tremendous thing, isn't it? It's not what you know, it's who you know. If you know the Lord, all will be well, even though it takes a time sometimes to become well. So what must seem to you to be hours ago, I need to sum it up. Jeremiah 11 is worth repeating. I, the Lord, know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you. And the last bit I didn't say before, plans to give you hope and a future. As we face the future, we have hope. And we do indeed have a future. I could write a book on God's promises and his plans and his love for us. I believe that as we ask in faith, we will discover what St. Paul said. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The scriptures say which strengthens me. It means two things, actually. I know through faith that I can do all things. And I'd like to read, or to say again, the first three verses of the scripture that Dave read earlier, the first three verses of chapter 12. He was talking about witnesses. You are all witnesses. I am a witness. We witness to each other, and we've had centuries of people witnessing in our lives. So it now becomes personal. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance or patience the race that is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and scorning its shame. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That's the answer, isn't it? We trust the witness of Jesus and the witness of good people we know. And even though we get tired and perhaps overburdened, we will not grow weary and lose heart. I wish God's blessings on you all, now and in the future.